an original Canadian composition performed by a Canadian group. They are both from Toronto. Ron Cahoot wrote the song, the classic Fly Cossack Fly, and performed by Dunaj from their most recent CD. Dobrý den, dobrý ranek, dobrý večer. Vítaju vás всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павліна Макварі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie, Pokrinske Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got a Ukrainian Jewish heritage feature on a very exciting, very interesting event that takes place in the Jewish world, and this is an annual conference, one which I was fortunate to attend last year. As well, we'll have our usual news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today News Service, to bring you up with all the latest happenings in Ukraine. As well, we've got our usual proverb of the week and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a group from Poland. They're called Horpina. Here they are now with a song called Marusia. Marusia, raz, dwa, tri, galina, czornia.
до мене не ходи, куцей коротенький. Бо до мене, бо до мене ходить хлопець високий, тоненький. Понад сад виноград, а у саду грушка. Види, 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 ти до мене, моя щебетушка. Види, 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 ти до мене, моя щебетушка. Я за тебе не піду, хоч би був зі злота.
Чи ти мила така гарна, чи мені здається?
Через тебе, моя мила, сон мій не береться.
Через тебе, моя мила, сон мій не береться.
Виноград,
а у саду сливка.
Види, 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 ти до мене, моя чорнобрівка.
Види, 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 ти до мене, моя чорнобрівка.
Ти до мене не ходи, не псуй собі ночі. Я за тебе не піду, бо мати не хоче. Перестань до мене ходити. Є у мене гарний хлопець, буде м'я любити.
Є у мене гарний хлопець, буде м'я любити.
More talent from Toronto. That was a group called Zubrivkas from their second album, which is called Večernici, and that means evening party. And that was a song called Ти до мене не ходи, which means don't come to me, and that is a refrain of many a young Ukrainian woman trying to fend off the unwanted attention of rather older gentlemen. Coming up next is another Canadian group. They are from Edmonton. They're called Kalabai. From their CD, Kalameka Casualties, here they are now with a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Visit Yabko, the Hanging Apple.
Файна вийти заміж мусить. Коли дівка файна, коли дівка файна, вийти заміж мусить. Казала, що буде чекала. Я пішов до війська, вона ся віддала. Я пішов до війська, вона ся віддала. Дівчат ходити по весіллях грати. Чи горів купити, то дівчат ходити по весіллях грати. Іванку, я витяю бі. мамка за тебе не била. Як би мене мамка, як би мене мамка за тебе не била.
Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Ceasefire violations are being reported in eastern Ukraine. Russian-backed militants have been firing grenade launchers and machine guns at government troops near the eastern town of Avdiivka, according to Ukrainian military. Before this incident, there was no reported ceasefire violations in that region. Meanwhile, Ukrainian troops are continuing to withdraw weapons with a caliber over 100 millimeters across the front line. The latest truce came into effect on September 1st, leading to some of the lowest levels of fighting seen in the 18-month conflict.
Some 9 captive Ukrainian soldiers have been freed in exchange for 11 Russian-backed militants. It's part of broader arrangements made under the Minsk ceasefire deal in February. Petro Poroshenko, Ukraine's president, announced the news on social media. Both parties exchanged the hostages near Shastia, just north of the militant stronghold of Luhansk. The prisoner of war swap was monitored by observers from the OSCE's Special Monitoring Mission and members of the International Committee of the Red Cross. It's believed that both sides are still holding prisoners.
A Ukrainian being held in Russia has asked to be removed from his own court hearing in the Republic of Chechnya after saying that he did not want to listen to testimony that he had earlier been forced to give whilst being tortured. Mykola Karpyuk says his earlier admission that he killed Russian soldiers in the 1990s alongside Chechen separatists and current Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk was made whilst he was subject to physical humiliation. Karpyuk's co-defendant, meanwhile, Stanislav Kluch, had to be given medical care after being diagnosed with high blood pressure. The two men, both held in Russia for more than 6 months, say the charges against them are entirely fabricated.
This is exclusive video of Nadia Savchenko, the Ukrainian fighter pilot currently being held in Russia on charges of involvement in the murder of 2 Russian journalists. Shot on June 25, 2014, the footage shows the 34-year-old just 1 week after she was captured by militants in East Ukraine and forcibly taken across the border. Obtained by Ukrainian broadcaster TSN, the video shows the first official interrogation of Savchenko on Russian territory. In the video, we see an investigator who goes by the name Manshin in a light blue shirt. Across from him sits Savchenko, who speaks only in Ukrainian, and next to her, a translator. Manshin first assures Savchenko that she has only been called in as a witness and will likely be released at any moment. Those words, say Savchenko's lawyer, were far from the truth. He offers commentary on the clip. What you don't see in the shot is that it's a two-room suite, and in the room next door are two armed guards. Not only did they not let Nadia leave the room, they didn't even let her go up to the window. For the first hour of the interrogation, the investigator asked Nadia to recall her movements, starting from Ukraine's pro-EU Maidan uprising in the winter of 2014 to the time when she became involved in the fight against Russian-backed militants in East Ukraine in the summer of that same year. Nadia recounts the moment when she was captured on June 17th. She says it happened when she was coming to the aid of Ukrainian soldiers who had been caught in an ambush. I didn't see a checkpoint, just some blown-up equipment at first. Then I saw the place where the ambush had taken place. They threw a sack over me. They probably took me through a checkpoint, but I didn't see anything. Nadia goes on to say that she never saw the journalist she is accused of murdering and about how she only found out about their deaths from one of their colleagues. But it's here, says Savchenko's lawyer, that the investigator, Manshin, starts to set her up. We believe that Manshin is the chief architect of the false case against Nadia. Of course, he was given orders from his bosses, but he was the one who carried them out. He was the one who wrote out the false documents. Early on in the interrogation, he understood that Nadia would be set up. Later, Manshin hands Nadia her mobile phone, and she laughs with him about how she has the number of the Ukrainian embassy and that she might need to call it for help. She could not have known then that today, nearly 18 months after she made those jokes, she would still be a prisoner in Russia.
Russia has staged military drills in Crimea, the Black Sea Peninsula, which Moscow annexed from Ukraine in March 2014. The Kremlin's seizure of the territory came after Ukraine's former Kremlin-friendly president, Viktor Yanukovych, was ousted from office in a popular uprising. Moscow's claim on Crimea remains unrecognized by the international community. Sanctions from the US and the EU on Russia because of the annexation remain in force and will be held in place until at least the summer of 2016. The measures from the EU include a ban on importing goods from Crimea. An embargo on exporting certain technologies and products to the Black Sea Peninsula has also been brought in.
The Ukrainian State Border Service has announced that there will be more crossing points set up along the line of contact, which separates territory under government control and the breakaway enclave carved out by Russian-backed militants in the east of the country. Some of these new checkpoints will be ready as soon as November, according to the Border Service. We recruited local men and women who, in our opinion, will serve there. They will be the new face of the Border Service. They will be trained, and after December 20th, everyone will start their work. The makeshift border crossings are considered to be one of many issues fueling the humanitarian crisis in eastern Ukraine. Every day, hundreds of people on foot, in cars and buses cross between the two sides in the conflict. Another military conscription wave is expected to start in Ukraine in the next few days. The military plans to reach its goal of recruiting 11,000 men. Ukraine's Minister of Defense, Stepan Poltorak, has said that the military commissioner is tasked with carrying out, quote, a qualitative selection for the military service. Poltorak also stressed that the new 20-year-old recruits will not be sent to the front line.
A ceasefire was renewed in East Ukraine on September 1st, bringing fighting there between Ukrainian troops and Russian-backed militants to some of the lowest levels seen throughout the 18-month conflict. But stopping the guns is only part of the equation. Many homes and businesses in the region remain in a poor state because of damage sustained in the conflict. What that means, says Christopher Miller of Mashable, is a looming humanitarian crisis as winter approaches. We'll take a look at Miller's article here on the Press Review. He's been in the town of Popasna. He writes, what a few businesses existed here before the war broke out in April 2014 have been shuttered. All that is left are a few tiny mini-markets, and their shelves are mostly empty, save for essentials: eggs, flour, milk, pasta and rice, and vodka.
The town, says Miller, offers a concise view of what has happened to the wider Luhansk and Donetsk regions of Ukraine over the last 18 months as Russian troops, militants and Ukrainian forces waged war in a conflict which has claimed some 8,000 lives. Miller tells us, Popasna, which has seen its population of 22,000 before the war dwindle to about 11,000, according to the mayor's office, is a microcosm of Ukraine's Donetsk and Luhansk regions that have been plagued by the conflict. Like elsewhere, residents here welcomed the renewed ceasefire that came into effect on September 1st and the opportunity to return to their homes. And many have returned to their homes, having earlier been among the 2 million people who fled the region because of the fighting. But as residents come back, ways need to be found to allow them to put their lives back together. So far, it would seem little help has come from the government or elsewhere. Miller writes, faced with shortages in food, health services, medicine and adequate shelter, and with winter right around the corner, a potential humanitarian crisis looms. Compounding the situation for many, pro-Russian separatists have banned humanitarian organizations from working in areas under their control for alleged espionage activity and other crimes. Miller ends his piece on a pessimistic note. With many homes reduced to rubble and shortages of goods widespread, there is little that might prompt us to look on the bright side. He says, it is a desperate situation that appears unlikely to end soon as peace talks between Kiev, Moscow and the separatists drag on. Rather, with another notoriously harsh Ukrainian winter approaching, it may worsen. We can only hope that before the snow comes, more help appears, be it from the Ukrainian government or aid organizations. Even if the guns do remain silent in the Donbass over the winter months, it is a long road back for the region to return to something like the state it was in prior to the outbreak of conflict in the spring of 2014. That's all we have time for today. Join us again tomorrow for another press review. In Kyiv, this is Ukraine Today.
A Ukrainian government employee has been fired for using a Russian email system for official business. Alexander Krevsky, who works for the Department of International Cooperation and Tourism in Ukraine's western city of Lviv, had been using Russia's email server mail.ru for his official correspondence. The region's governor believes using Russian mail servers could potentially, quote, jeopardize the country's information security. We received orders from the prime minister to limit the use of Russian email servers because this is official work, and especially since this employee worked for the Department of International Cooperation. This isn't his first year at the job, and he knows all the restrictions. Ukrainian media has reported that security services are now investigating whether there were any information leaks in connection to the employee's use of a Russian email server.
Beauty in embroidery dedicated to Ukrainian women. In Kyiv, this spectacular mural has been unveiled. It's the work of Australian street artist Guido van Helton, famous for creating similar large-scale portraits worldwide. Spanning 40 meters high across 18 floors of an apartment block, this image aims to create feelings of national unity and patriotism. The artwork took 2 weeks to complete, a transformation of what was another dreary Soviet-era complex. We spoke with the man behind the masterpiece. Here is what he said.
This is about the Vyshyvanka, and it's like a cultural identity of Ukraine, and I just wanted to celebrate that as a positive symbol of unity and something that brings people together. So it's not about who it is. It's supposed to be about everyone.
How has happened that you choose this building?
We were looking to make a big project, so we just found one that's quite large, really, and it's in a nice location. And I think it's it's got some character. This building, it's old, but I think it's a beautiful surface to paint. So I like the work to blend in with the building and the space with colours and other things. So I'm just bringing it out of the wall.
Van Helton worked in partnership with Ukrainian artist and filmmaker Gior Leros as part of the City Art Project Social Initiative. This is not the only mural project. We also met Fintan McGee, a well-known street artist from Sydney, Australia. Several of his unique portrait paintings already colour the city landscapes, including The Dreamer, an image of Ukrainian gymnast Hanna Rizatdinova, a symbol of strength and power of women, and The River Crossing, an image of unity of man and nature from hard times to a bright future.
It's a friend of mine. She's carrying firewood in like a flood landscape. So it's kind of like to do with the body of work I'm working on for an exhibition in Australia right now, dealing with climate change and a bunch of other environmental issues. So,
tell me about your friend. She's from Kiev, or?
She's from Kiev. Yeah. Katerina is her name.
Ukraine's four-month Euromaidan street protests further strengthened the movement. It ended in a revolution, not just in the government, but in art as well. Walk around Kiev and you could bump into this mural, a memorial to Serhiy Nigoyan, the first protester to be killed by shooting during clashes with the Berkut riot police in January 2014. The murals serve an important social purpose. They take creativity out of the gallery and onto the street, giving ordinary people an opportunity to experience art in their everyday lives. The street art forms part of Kiev's new European-style look, reflecting on months of upheaval, an optimistic reminder and perhaps motivation for Ukrainians of a bright, independent future that potentially lies ahead. This is Tom Bell and Tetyana Fruktova for Ukraine Today in Kiev.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine Today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv. And that was the Lemko Bluegrass Band from Lviv, Ukraine, and a song called Bukovina, and that is the name of a region in Ukraine, a little bit south of the region that the Lemko Bluegrass Band lives in. Coming up next is another Canadian group, this one from Winnipeg, Manitoba. They're called High Profile. They're a very popular polka band. They just released a third CD. It is called Tribute to Ukrainian Heritage. And here they are now with The Waltz of the Widow. Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Up next, a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Andriy Holovaty in Toronto. From November 6th to the 9th, 2014, Limud FSU hosted more than 600 Jews from around Ukraine and the former Soviet Union, taking over the Hotel Dniester in Lviv's Old City, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. They were there to attend presentations on Jewish art, music, culture, and history hosted by Limud FSU. They were also there to network with other Jews wanting to strengthen their Jewish identity. This year, they'll do it again. Limud FSU is a global organization which seeks to restore the tradition of lifelong Jewish learning and to strengthen Jewish identity for young Russian-speaking adults in the former Soviet Union, Israel, America, and throughout the world. Limud is built on a unique model of seminars, lectures, workshops, and discussions on topics ranging from Israeli politics to Jewish cooking, traditional texts to Yiddish theater, dance, music, and more. The word limud is derived from the Hebrew word for learning. FSU stands for Former Soviet Union. Limud began in the United Kingdom in 1980. Hundreds of Jewish activists attended this first Limud conference. By 1990, Limud had spread to Jewish communities across the world. In 2006, Limud FSU was founded. It brought conferences to Ukraine, Russia, and other countries of the former Soviet Union. As well, it spread to Israel, the USA, and Canada, which saw its first Limud in the fall of 2014. Limud Ukraine began in 2008 in Yalta. Now, annual Limud FSU festivals are a tradition in Ukraine and central to the resurgence of Jewish life across the country. Festivals have been held in Odessa, Truskavets, Uzhhorod, Vinnytsia, Yalta, and Lviv. Today, young Ukrainian Jews attend lectures and master classes, join discussions, hear concerts, and hang out in discos and nightly gatherings, all central to the Limud FSU experience. Last year's speakers included such well-known names as journalist and commentator Vitaly Portnikov, Holocaust survivors Shimon Redlich and Aaron Weiss, Israeli politician Roman Bronfman, who originally hails from Ukraine, and many others. Sessions covered wide-ranging topics from politics and nation-building to emigration, the history of Hasidism, existential thinking, literature, theater, film, and photography. And, of course, music. From Ukrainian, Polish, and Yiddish folk songs to George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Among the remarkable stories that emerged out of Lviv during the Holocaust was that of Christine Sugar, who hid with her family in the city's sewer system for 14 months during the Nazi occupation. She spoke at the conference via Skype from her home in New York. There were master classes on topics like traditional Jewish music and dance, cooking, painting, and candle making. Entertainment included concerts by the popular a cappella group Picardiska Terzia, the Klezmasters, Lomaga Band, and others. The festival's opening ball included a moment of silence for victims of the violence on the Russian border. Donations were collected during the conference for a hospitalized Ukrainian soldier wounded in the conflict. Last year, the conference program included many new Western Ukrainian intellectuals. This year, the list will be continued with the addition of new Limud stars of science and music from Ukraine and around the world. As well, the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter will host three panels, two reviewing their June conference on genocide and propaganda, the third, a screening of their documentary film Saved by Sheptytsky, about the renowned Ukrainian Catholic hierarch who sheltered Jews from the Nazis. Many entertainers at last year's Limud will return this year, such as Lviv Klezmer fusion ensemble The Varnichkas, the Jewish vocal ensemble Simhe from Vinnytsia, and others. Limud FSU takes place from November 5th to the 8th, 2015, again at the Hotel Dnister in Lviv. For more information, visit www.limudfsu.org. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In Toronto, I'm Andriy Holovaty. Until next time, shalom!
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. his CD called In Tradition, that was Jason Choinaboy from Steinbach, Manitoba, just outside of Winnipeg, and that was the Cajun two-step, and sound with a little bit more of a Métis kind of sound. Certainly, having grown up in that area, that is very much something that you would hear at, say, the Métis Pavilion at Folklorama, and certainly you want to get up and do a little bit of a jig to that, or the two-step. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. Elsewhere in the world, here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get podcast links to all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter and please like our Facebook page. Najam if just kinchila nasha pratamu if chastu domo wiskazate do pobachenia. Ale pered tem ya khochu zalashat vashe kim slovami mudrosti. Usi pravdi poklonyayutsya, ale yiyi ne trimayutsya. And our proverb of the week translates as, people worship truth but seldom feel bound to it. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos. To take us to the end of our program, we've got the Canadian Rhythm Masters from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Izzy Polka. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobachenia.